Let's go to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. And I apologize for ducking out on you Sunday night. Some of you may not know, I got a problem with ulcers. And, you know, sometimes it comes in and it's hard. It came in hard Saturday. And it happens a lot, about every 2-3 weeks. It doesn't always happen on a church night. And this happened Saturday night, and I made it through Sunday school on Sunday morning, but I was wiped out coming Sunday, and it still carried over into Tuesday. And I'm doing somewhat better right now, but I appreciate Brother Jack picking up the slack. Hey, man, I'm sorry that there's slack that he has to pick up, but thankful that he's able to do that. And so I appreciate that. And I told him that tonight I'd be coming back to the thought that I was going to preach Sunday night on 1 Corinthians. We're in chapter 5 there. But as things have developed, the Lord led me another direction than that. And so tonight I want to talk to you about our public efforts and testimonies and how the world perceives us in our public lives. And of course, it's good to see Alan and Tracy tonight with Joey. It's a blessing to have them back. Amen. But I believe, according to the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, that there will be rewards for private devotions. And that is private prayer and private giving and the matter of private fasting. These matters of private devotions to the Lord are things that the Lord will reward when we get to the judgment seat of Christ. And yet, I also believe we ought to be very public about our testimony and about our association with the Lord and our faith in His Word. And the world certainly is very public about the things that it stands for, things that they ought to be ashamed of. And it's sad that many brethren are ashamed of things that they ought to be more public about. And so tonight, what I want to talk to you about, the subject is housetop convictions or discipleship, housetop discipleship. As these are housetop scenes found in the Bible where either someone is on the rooftop honoring the Lord or else they're on the rooftop causing shame and dishonoring the Lord. And it's one or the other. And so here in Matthew chapter 10 is where we'll start. These are the words of Christ. If you look down there at verse 24, Matthew chapter 10, verse 24, Jesus is speaking and he said, "The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household?" Now, the master in the passage that's being referred to here by the Lord Jesus is the Lord Jesus. And what he is doing is he is training disciples, and he is bringing to their attention the terrible things that people are saying about him. And basically, he is telling his followers that they should expect the same. The name Beelzebub was another name for the devil. It means the god of filth or the lord of the flies. And that's what Christ is telling his disciples. That's the way they're referring of him. And of course, Paul the Apostle would also speak about how the world had counted him and those that were with him as the offscouring of all things. And so here's the master talking about the way they talk about him. And if they treat the master like that, then we servants should not expect anything better. And any one of us that would go through life expecting that people owe us something, we're going to live life sorely disappointed. The fact is that no one, in my view anyway, no one owes me anything. Now, the Lord tells us that we're to love one another and we're to honor, amen, one another. We're to give honor to whom honor is due. So there's a way the Lord looks at this. But my approach to life is no one owes me anything. The fact is that I owe the Lord Jesus a living and I owe this world because of the sacrifice that was made at the cross that Jesus made when he died was for everyone. It was for the world. Therefore, I have personally benefited from what he did for everyone. Therefore, I owe the world the gospel. Paul the Apostle said in Romans that I am ready to preach the gospel. And he added to that, I am not ashamed of the gospel. And before that, he prefaced his statement saying, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So what he was saying, of course, if you're prepared, you're not feeling the pressure because you're prepared. And so he was saying that one of the many reasons that he was not ashamed to preach the gospel was because he was ready. He was prepared to preach the gospel. And then he prefaced all that saying he was a debtor of the gospel to give it to everyone. You and I are debtors. As sure as you're saved, as sure as Christ died for you, he died for everyone. And so we owe everyone the gospel. Now, as a child of God, as a servant of Christ, if you live with the attitude that anyone owes you something, and that in order for you to show them a display of your faith and your loyalty to the Lord Jesus, that you put that condition on it, that they have to appreciate the fact that you are a person of faith. If that's a condition you put to that, then I'm afraid you're going to find out it doesn't work that way. Amen. The world's not going to appreciate us for our faith. They did not appreciate the one that we have faith in. And so it shouldn't have an effect on us if somebody doesn't appreciate we're Bible thumpers and we're pure gospelists. Amen. Amen. You don't mess with the gospel. You don't mess with the words of God. That should not bother you that there are those that think you're taking it too far. Amen. You should continue to stand. People are going to say things. People are going to misunderstand you. They're going to misrepresent you. You say, how do you know? Because they called your master Beelzebub. They said he was the Lord of the flies. They likened him to the devil. And we should not expect any better treatment. Now the fact is that I'm preaching this tonight, and there's someone saying, well, that's not a very motivational way to get people into the service of Christ. Well, friend, listen to me. That's the thing with the Lord. He's not interested in giving you and I a pep rally. He's not going to have a cheerleaders up there saying, go, go, go. That's not the way this works. He lays it out factually so that he can actually prepare you for this. He says to us here that people will say false things about you. People will misunderstand what you're doing. They may not appreciate you. Those are the facts. They said false things about the master. They didn't understand him. They did not appreciate him. And he says the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. And you have to keep that in mind. Our public stand for the Lord Jesus Christ is not made so that we'll be approved of by the world or appreciated by the world. The reason why we do what we do for Jesus Christ publicly is because we appreciate the master. We love him, amen. We're true to him. Now, down there in verse 26, he said, fear them not therefore. See, that's what he's talking about. Fear them not therefore. Don't let the threat of their disapproval sway you away from being loyal to the master. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. That means it's all going to come out in the wash. Either here or later, there's going to be vindication for those that are loyal and true to the king. And he says in verse 27, what I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. Now notice this is a thought about discipleship here. And he likens it to going to the housetop and being very public with what he's told you in the ear. The qualities for discipleship, when you study it out in the New Testament as it's taught by the Lord Jesus, are going to involve thoughts of consistency. Consistency being that you behave in a manner that is becoming of the Master. You behave in a way that is becoming of our Lord. And then courage is involved because we are to follow Him anywhere. We're to follow Him everywhere. We're to obey our orders and then continuance in the way to be able to finish the job. These are things that involve being a disciple. It's not just going to church. You got to have courage to you. You got to live a consistent life, and there needs to be an ongoing plan to keep it going, to keep finishing the job, go all the way. The Lord said, hey, if you can't go all the way, if you don't have what it takes to go all the way, you cannot be my disciple. That's what he says plainly. And it's a matter of convictions, that is choices, priorities. Discipleship is a matter of loyalties and priorities, which is what Jesus is talking about. It's the theme of what he's telling these disciples, to line up with him. Forget themselves and think nothing of bearing his reproach to this world. And that's the encouragement. From there, he's going to mention motives. He's going to try to get them to properly, in matters of the fear of God, serve him and be loyal to him. And that simple truth that Jesus, our master, is worthy of our loyalty. And we know that. Is he worthy? We would say, amen, he is. But push comes to shove. See, then it becomes priorities. Duties never conflict. And when there's something you've got to do and there's something else you could do, and both of them be good, you can have one good thing and one thing that you're supposed to do. Duties never conflict. You see, you've got to understand, what are your priorities? What is it that the king is expecting out of us? Look at verse 28. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall to the ground without your father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. What is the encouragement here? As a disciple, what is he saying? He's saying, don't be afraid to get out on the limb. Don't be afraid to stick your neck out there, because you're worth more to him than many sparrows, and he takes care of them. And he's saying we can trust him. Now, not only does he value us more than many sparrows, but more than that, amen, he loves us. Jesus prayed in John 17, he loves us as the Father loves us as he loves Christ. It is the love of God which is in Christ. In Romans chapter 8 says, nothing present nor things to come shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So there's two motives there given towards discipleship, and they are the fear of God, he mentions, and then realizing the love of God, recognizing your value to him and therefore your ability or your being able to trust him. And then it's going to get into how it pleases God. How it pleases God the Father for you and I to be faithfully involved in discipleship. Following him, obeying him, taking his side against the world. That pleases God. The Father is honored by that. Notice verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I am come not to send peace, but a sword. See, as you line up with Christ, he's showing you a line gets drawn in the dirt. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And I want us to say here that that's not talking about our attitudes towards these people. It's talking about their attitude towards us. We're supposed to love these people. Amen. We got to care for these people. Christ would never advocate that we would mistreat our father and our mother, or our son or daughter, or our brother or sister. Amen. He would never advocate that. But he's talking about they may turn on us. They may have an attitude that develops against us because we line up with him. And therefore it falls down. Now, this is concerning being a public witness, being counted as a disciple of Christ. That's not a child of God. Child of God happens by grace through faith. But a discipleship, that involves discipline. That involves the ability to be able to deny yourself and take up a cross and follow on. And follow to the end. Now, he says in verse 36, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. This is the constant test every Christian is going to face. And will face it more than once. And it'll be not do you love the Lord, but do you love the Lord more than him, than her, than them, than this, than that. It's always going to be there. It'll be there until we get home. And he's saying, if there's anything you put in front of him, if there's something you will not cross in following him, he's saying you don't have what it takes to finish the job. And you can't be a disciple. Because discipleship isn't just about one time at the altar and a one-time decision. That just gets the ball rolling. It's a lifetime commitment. And the Lord said, if you're going to make a lifetime commitment to follow me, nothing can be more important than me in your life. Because as sure as you live and breathe, what or whoever it is going to get in the way. And you're going to have to deny yourself. Now, he says there in verse 38, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. This is what you're hearing about all over America. You've been hearing about it for a generation now. People going out to find themselves. Always analyzing themselves. I got to figure out why I do this and why I do that. That'll lead you to insanity. Trying to find your identity. All these kind of things. It's going to cause our whole society to go crazy. And the fact is here, he says, if you find your life, you'll lose it. If it's about money, if you got money, it won't make you happy. It won't fulfill you. If it's about a position, if you got it, it will not fulfill you and satisfy you. If it's about a woman, if it's about a man, if it's about a family, if it's about a thing you drive, amen, it does not matter. It will not satisfy. The Lord said, if you find your life, you'll lose it. But he that loseth his life shall find it. You know what he said? You get caught up in following the master. Get caught up in serving the king. Get consumed with loving the Lord. You know what he said? You'll find out that that's what living is. He said, you'll find it. He that receiveth you, receiveth me. He that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. The Lord said, I'm going to reward everyone that helps you. You know why? He said, because you're with me. And the Lord appreciates you being with him. And I'll just point out there, he's talking about discipleship, calling us to service. It's a matter of loyalties. It's a matter of priorities there. And he's compelling them to be on his side. And he's telling them right up front what they can expect, the hardship, and to think nothing of bearing his reproach. Don't fear man. See, the child of God, we're not of this world, but we're still in this world. And make no mistake about it, this world is no friend to Jesus Christ. It is no friend to the grace of God. And you might as well make up your mind, if the Lord, if he's going to be your master, if your Savior is going to be your Lord, you're going to listen to him, you're going to follow him, then they're not going to think, there's going to be a group out there, they're not going to think any higher of you than they think of him. And you know what the Lord's attitude about that is? He said, it's enough. It's enough that the servant be as his master. And he says, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above the Lord. And so Christ is inciting them to remember, again, the fear of God and not fear criticism from the world and ridicule from the world there. He's encouraging them by informing them of the value they hold to the Father there, saying, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Christ is challenging his followers. Wave your colors. Wave the banner. Let the world know you're on his side. You're with him. Associate with him, amen. Don't fear those that would cause persecution or ridicule. Keep in mind there that the Father's going to take care of you. He's going to reward you. He'll reward those that help you as a disciple. He said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Now in 2 Timothy chapter 2, you understand the context of being denied. It's where someone stands up to volunteer and they're denied. Sit back down. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he says there that if we deny him, he will deny us. Well, look at the context. The context is about a millennial privilege, a millennial blessing. See, you don't get to wear a crown later if you're not willing to bear a cross now. And the Lord will reward those that will bear his cross now. Those disciples, he said, they will reign with him. But those that will not, They're denying him. And because they deny him in this life, they will be denied the reign with Christ. It's not talking about losing your salvation, going to hell. Someone that reads that in there is just trying to prove they're right about the false doctrine they've embraced. The context is about the millennial privilege, the millennial blessing. Many have denied Christ, they're not even aware of it. And the reason they're not aware of it is simply because the scenario was not exactly the same as it was when Peter denied the Lord. They're not warming their hands at the fire of an enemy. Amen. They're not denying him in that. Peter's there and they ask him, "Do you know him?" "No, I don't know him." And he denies him in that fashion. But you understand, it's not always like that. Sometimes it's at a church service. And the Spirit of God at the bidding of Christ is dealing with hearts about drawing nigh, getting more involved, getting out on the limb, just like tonight, amen. Get more involved, be a disciple, be a serious follower of Christ. And instead of someone submitting, they deny him. They sit back and they look out for number one, and number one in their idea is themselves. Some have denied him when the Lord has told them to speak up to someone. There's someone there that needs a witness and they should say something and they won't say anything. The Lord wants them to. They know they should. They know they need to hear it, but they're not going to do that because they know they might look funny to that one. They may think of them in a bad way, and so what do? They deny the Lord. They don't let him have his way. They're not going to bear that cross. You know, Christ may lead us to get more involved in the work of God. He may lead us to honor him more with our substance. Obviously there, you know, so that the work of God can increase and be sufficient unto every good work. But there's something they're wanting to buy. There's something they're wanting to do. There's some Esau's pottage out there. Some bowl of chili beans out there. That it's, hey, is it what the Lord wants me to do or is it what I want? And they're going to go with himself. And they're going to deny the Lord. When faced with the choice to be led of Christ or lead their own lives, when faced with the choice to stand up for Christ or hide out and exist, when faced with the choice to trust Christ and wait on him or work things out their own way, when faced with the love of the world or the love of the Lord, they're going to go with self. And they're going to deny Christ. Only they don't understand that's what they're doing. Why did Peter deny the Lord? Because his neck was on the line. And at that moment, you know what he did? Yep. Now later, he's a bulldog. But at that point, he spares his own life. He loves his own life. He puts his own life above associating with Christ. Because the situation. He was offended, and that's what happened. We all understand what it means to confess Christ before men. To confess Christ is to boast in him. It's to glory in Christ. It's to testify of Christ to the world there. Christ says, if you'll testify of me before men, I'll testify of you before my Father which is in heaven. To confess him, line up with him. He said, if you'll line up with me before men, I'll line up with you before my Father. If you'll brag on me before men, I'll brag on you. I'll testify of you before my Father. Now, folks, that's not an even trade-off. You and I standing up before people that are just like us, telling them what they need to hear, the best news they could ever hear, is not the same as the Holy Son of God testifying before the Father. Look at him down there. He don't care. He's going to tell them. He don't care what they think. He don't care what they're going to say. He's going to brag on me before all those men who he knows hate me. And the Lord appreciates that. Folks, that ought to mean something to us. Jesus said, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Now, woe be for us to use people as excuses. There are young people that have blamed their parents as to why they don't follow Christ. There are parents that have used their children as convenient reasons as to why they're not following Christ. But he's saying, walk worthy of him. It's the cost, the quality of discipleship. You cannot be a good father and mother, amen, if you allow your children to get in the way of you following Jesus Christ. Being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ will make you a better father and mother. And you cannot be a good husband if you allow your wife to be your excuse as to why you're not more dedicated to Christ. And the same goes for a woman that'll say, I can't follow Christ because my husband, he keeps getting in the way. Listen, anybody who does that, they're hindering the blessings of God and they're hindering themselves from being able to please the Lord. The Lord is pleased by our discipleship. So Jesus says, take up your cross, follow after him. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. There's encouragement there. But it's not flowery beds of ease. It's not, hey, live your best life now. It's none of that stuff. You want a cheerleader? You're not going to get it from him. You know what he said? People probably hate you for this. There probably some people like to kill you for this. You say, oh, brother, come on. Listen, I get hate mail every week. I've been threatened by homosexuals 3 times this year. So what about that? What about that? Amen. Listen, I'm not trying to make them mad. I'm not trying to make anybody mad. I'm trying to be faithful to the one that called me and saved me. And if it gets me in a ringer, then amen, praise God. Amen, I want to please him. Now, people are ashamed of what they, you know, what they ought to glory in. People are glorying in things they ought to be ashamed of. And that's sad. Christ doesn't believe anyone should be ashamed of him. I agree with that. I don't think any of us in here should be ashamed of him. We should not be ashamed of his words. He says, what I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what you hear in the ear, preach it on the housetop. Now think of how different that is with men. Usually what a man tells you in his ear, he probably doesn't want it repeated in public. And usually what he tells you in your ear maybe shouldn't be repeated to anyone at all. In any situation, amen. But what's understood is either one, they don't want me to repeat this, or two, I should not repeat this. But that's not the way it works with the Lord. He says, if I say something to you in the dark, go stand in the light and let them know what I told you. If I tell you something in your ear, go get on a housetop. Go get on a housetop. See, this is an encouragement towards discipleship. Housetop discipleship. This is what we're talking about. No private secret service disciples, amen. They was trying to catch Martin Luther and some things, and they're saying, well, what do you think about this? And what do you think about that? And where do you stand on this issue? And he just pointed at the Bible, and he said, you see that book? That's where I stand. If it goes contrary to that book, he said, I'm going to go contrary to it. He took his stand with the Bible. We're living in a day and time when young people swear and curse in public. They curse their own mother and their own father in public. Right. We're dealing with men that will blaspheme the name of God in public over the airwaves. Yeah. Our entertainment advocates adulterous affairs. Right. There's music that is advocating loudly fornication, the sin of fornication. Women today have just given up on the whole idea of being modest. I mean, you want to dress like the world? There are Christian women. Their objective, their goal is to be sexy. Yeah. Folks, this is scandalous. When there are women, your goal is to be sexy? Where did you get that from? That is not the word of God. You understand? Well, you're not supposed to try to shame me. Your body's shaming me. Shut up. I'm trying to help you. The only reason you're using such a term is you've been listening to that idiot box for so long. Instead of the word of God, you're repeating what they're saying. When the Bible says you ought to seek to be modest. You got public leaders openly ridiculing the Bible. Ridiculing people that have faith in Scripture. They do this right out in the open. What is going on that Christians are ashamed of the one who died for their sins? When the world's so bold about such blatant wickedness. How is it we shrink from what we should be doing? Go to Nehemiah chapter 8. And I think of King David over in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 11. For 10 chapters there, you're going to see where he just has one victory right after another. And it's just one great thing after another happening in the reign of David there. But there comes a time when the Bible says kings went forth to battle. It was that time. And you know what happened. David's out of place. The Bible shows us what the problem was. He's drawn away of his own lust. And instead of being on the battlefield where he belonged, where was he? What was he, slouched down on his couch, hiding, ashamed that he wasn't where he's supposed to be? No, the Bible says he tarried still at Jerusalem. And you know what he did? He went right up on the housetop. Went right up on the housetop, not only where he could see everything he wanted to see, but he didn't care if everyone saw him. At a time when kings went forth to battle, and there was a war going on, he wasn't where he was supposed to be, and he didn't care who saw him. And of course, that night is going to lead to terrible disasters in his life. He starts down a path that cost him so much there. He gets exposed by Nathan the prophet. He deals with the death of a child, the rape of a daughter, the death of a son, the deception and rebellion of another son, betrayal, exile, the death of another son. So much that went wrong that night that he was unashamed to go out there on the housetop and be seen by everyone that he wasn't where he was supposed to be. See, it's a scene of shame. That's what you find in the Bible. We won't look at all these tonight. We have prayer meeting. But it's either a scene of shame or it's a scene of service. Slacking in his responsibility, he's not even ashamed about it. He's public about it. Out on the rooftop, out of place. We think about that, you know, come Sunday, you know, a car that should be in a church parking lot somewhere. Is publicly somewhere where it shouldn't be. Unfaithfulness on display. Forsaking the assembly that God expressly said in the Word not to forsake. Public about what they ought to be ashamed of. Amen. People that will allow their children to see, they don't care about that book. They don't care about the Bible. They don't care. TV's on 24 hours a day. The Bible's never opened. Never prayer, no family altar, amen. And they strut around on display like they're on top of a roof somewhere, not even ashamed of it. You want to get on the rooftop, Jesus says, get up there for me. Yeah. You want to get on the rooftop. You want this world to see you do something for him. Amen. The world may not appreciate it, but the world's not your judge. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ is. Now, Nehemiah chapter 8, look at what's going on here. Verse 13, it says, and on the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests and the Levites, and unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month, and that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go forth unto the mount and fetch olive branches and pine branches and myrtle branches and palm branches and branches of thick trees to make booths as it is written. So the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths. Notice, everyone upon the roof of his house and in their courts and in the courts of the house of God, in the street of the water gate and in the street of the gate of Ephraim. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Jeshua, the son of Nun, under that day had not the children of Israel done so. And there was very great gladness. Now what you're reading there is these folks have found out by the book of God there was something they were supposed to be doing. And they weren't doing it. And so they got started doing it. They got started obeying what the Lord told them to be doing all this time. You know what they did? They went up on top of their house. And they let the world see them do what the Lord wanted them to do. See what that is? That's public obedience. That is a public association with the truth of the Word of God. Think about it. The opposite scene in 2 Samuel 16. A rebellion kicks off against King David with his own son Absalom. And he gets some counsel from old wicked Ahithophel who's betrayed David. And what Ahithophel tells him, he says, you take all those women that are associated with your father. And what did he say? take them up on the rooftop and spread that tent and put on display for everybody your wickedness and also your break from your father. And that's what happened. It was a rebellion, and it was a wicked rebellion that took place, a public display of Absalom's sin and rebellion. He made himself king. And away from the sights of people? No. Hiding out? Nope. Right out there on top of the roof where everybody could see it. There's a lot of Christians that'll display just that same attitude. Young Christian boys that'll display that kind of rebellious attitude against their own father, whom God said, you honor your father. You honor your mother. Amen. Book of Jeremiah chapter 19, verse 11 through 13, we won't look at it, but the prophet rebukes the people who were burning incense and they were serving idolatry in public. Out on the rooftop, he said. Out on the rooftop, they're worshiping false gods. You know. Now, folks, I know this is the most unpopular preaching there is. It's not preaching on hell. And you preach on hell in a Baptist church and 30 Baptists say amen. Because we believe in hell and we're sick of people denying it. And acting like it's not a Bible doctrine when it's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was a hellfire and damnation preacher. And see, I can preach on hell and it doesn't offend anybody. But when we start talking about people's faith and people's religion, thin-skinned, amen, people that are outraged because of that humanistic spirit and no zeal for God are going to get wrinkled and bent out of shape, amen, because they want to get along with this world instead of owning the reproach. You don't get to add works to the finished work of Jesus Christ. This means nothing. Wearing a cross means nothing. Praying at a statue means nothing. Eating a wafer means nothing. It's the finished work of Christ. It's faith in Jesus alone. And you say, well, brother, I just don't believe in speaking against other people's faith. You're in the wrong pew. You're in the wrong pew. Here, we're going to stand for the truth of the gospel and the truth of the words of God. And if it hair lips every cow in Texas, it'll just have to be that way. We believe in it, amen. We worship God in spirit and in truth. The convenience of false religion. The world don't even care about you being religious. They care about your allegiance to the King. Your allegiance to the Savior. Over in the book of Acts, over there in chapter 10, you got a devout follower of Christ being told to rise, kill, and eat. And he's being ordered to go preach to the Gentiles the faith in Jesus' name. Acts chapter 10, verse 9, you learn that he was up on the housetop when that happened. He was praying and God began to communicate to him. He's up on the housetop praying. See, this is what we're talking about. A public display of our allegiance to Christ. When Jesus is talking about private prayer and he's rebuking that public scene in Matthew 6, he's not rebuking praying in public. He's rebuking the motive behind it. And he says they're doing it, quote, to be seen of men. And if that is your motive, you might as well not even do it. But if you pray in public just to say, Lord, thank you for this meal. I know I don't have a dime without you. I know I couldn't eat my next meal without you. And just to give thanks in public to the Lord, that's not to be seen of men. That's just an association with the one who's feeding you. And letting him know you know where it's coming from. One last point, Joshua chapter 2, don't turn there, but you got Rahab the harlot. And she goes up there on the rooftop and she associates herself, even though she's a Gentile. Rahab the harlot associates herself with the people of God. You know what she said? She said, God has promised some things to you folks and I'm with you. And she switched loyalties. And she did it right up there on the rooftop. Amen. That's what the Lord's looking for. He'll reward that. Amen. He don't need any in the secret service. Let your colors fly. He's no one to be ashamed of. And what he did for us is nothing to be ashamed of. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord God, for these that have come to church tonight. Lord, as we get ready to pray, we pray that you'll prepare our hearts, Lord, to join together, Lord, and to pray about these needs and the things that are going on in our church. God, we sure need you. We pray, God, that you'll help us, Lord. Help us not to be ashamed of you, Lord God, in our flesh and living for ourselves and worried about what people think. Lord, help us to line up with what the Word of God says in honor of the King. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus, your Son. Lord, help us to live by him. Help us, Lord, to die for him. God, whatever we got to do, help us to associate ourselves with him. Thank you, Lord, for the blood that cleanses us from all sin. And Lord, thank you for the empty tomb. Lord, we love the Lord Jesus, and we honor you, our Father, through faith in his name. Bless us, Lord God, as we get ready to pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, Brother Jack.
Sister Robin? All right, Sister Robin has several unspoken. Brother Dave?
Several unspoken.
Brother Dave Green has several unspoken. Brother Donald?
Several